First, before I do that, we know that this holiday that's coming up, right? Which is Christmas? No. Thanksgiving first. The world says it's Christmas coming up next. Can anybody tell me what tribe it was where we get this whole Thanksgiving celebration from? Anybody out there know that? Yeah, brother. You got it. Brother, come on up here. I just want to give you a little something. This is not a Wampanoag guy. This is an Apache gospel singer. His name's Johnny Curtis, a friend of mine. And be blessed with that.
How did he?
And just wanted to give you that. Okay, that was question number one. What was question number two? Let's see. Okay, what was the tribe? What was the tribe that met the pilgrims back in the 1600s? Anybody know that? Anybody know that? Anybody? What? Somebody? Who is it? Yeah, you both got it. You said Mashpee, and it's the Wampanoag. I've actually got two, so I'll give you each one. All right. There you go. This is a devotional. There you go, brother. This one's a little bit more. If you like, this guy, it's an Apache gospel singer. He's kind of back from the days of the rock era. Some of his music comes out like that, but he writes his own stuff, and he's a good guy. He's from down in Arizona. God's been doing some great stuff in our ministry. And back several years ago, when I would travel down to Native American Fellowship Conference down in Arizona, I would pass through this area, driving through it, and the Spirit of God would just overwhelm me. Do you ever have those times when the Spirit of God would just overwhelm you? And I would literally be in the pray in the Spirit and just be filled with, I'm like, God, what's going on in this area that you're just causing me to pray in the Spirit and just really intercede? And it would and that didn't happen just once. It happened to me several times, at least three times, different years as I passed through this area. At one point, I actually tried to go down there. I found out that it was actually an area that was surrounded by reservation. It was a city that I went through, and it was surrounded by reservation and a lot of Native people there. But I was not able to get down to there at the time. Well, just recently, the Lord began to put this area in my heart again the beginning of this year. I said, okay, Lord, what's going on? I'm not even there. I'm not going through there, but you're stirring me. And I began to pray about it, and Peggy and I began to pray about it. And I felt just, you know, it's one of those things, you're praying, and you're believing, and you're having faith, and sometimes God says, hey, do something now. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes we tend to wait. Some of us don't like waiting, but sometimes we tend to wait and then just sit. And God's saying, okay, do something. So we actually made a phone call, and I figured I'd call one of the presbyters over the Native churches in that area. It's down in New Mexico. And couldn't get in touch with anybody. And so I decided to call a friend of mine who Peggy and I knew from back a couple of years ago. We met at a NAF conference down in Dallas, Texas. And I called this brother, Carlos. I knew he was pastoring a church on the Navajo Reservation in New Mexico. And I called him. I said, hey, I'm trying to get in touch with Presbyter so-and-so. And he says, hey, guess what? They just voted me in. I said, really? I says, oh, you're the guy. He goes, yeah. So I began to share with him some of the things and some of the things that God put on my heart. He said, hey, Chris, why don't you and Peggy come on down in July and come and visit with me. So we went down and we visited in July. Peggy and I went down for about 3 or 4 days. And we just traveled. We put on about 1,000 miles, honey, huh, through the reservation. And just the northwest section of New Mexico, put on 1,000 miles just traveling and visiting the different churches and different parts of the reservations. And just was stirred by God. But when this brother had talked to me on the phone, he said, hey, these are all the churches that are open. He says, you wouldn't believe what's going on. I got people that are retiring, people that are leaving. We've got all this open stuff that's going on. And this is my vision for ministry. And as he shared his vision for ministry, I said, man, that's the same thing I have a feeling that what God's calling us to do. And it's to training Native people to be leaders in these churches. And what's been happening down in that area is we've had missionaries down there, but we haven't been training leaders. All these missionaries are retiring, and there's nobody to take the churches. And after 20 or 30 years, these guys are in their 80s and their 70s and these ladies, and they're retiring, and there's nobody to take the church. And I'm thinking, what's going on? I said, God's been stirring me this year. We've got to train leaders to take these churches and literally work ourselves out of a job, pretty much, as a missionary, if we can think like that. And this brother said, that's the same thing that I'm sensing too. And I says, I'm in this whole area of just wanting to begin to put up training center, and he goes, brother, we would love to have you down here, work with us. And so anyways, he tells me the name of a church. He said, this one church is Calvary, and he told me a few others. So we looked it up, where Calvary was, and there's just, again, this one area that I've driven through before that I have a burden for. And we looked up this church. It was about 10 minutes north of that city. It was on the Navajo Reservation. And when I saw the name of the village, it just jumped off the page at me. Because literally this year, as I've been praying, some of you remember my testimony last time of some of the things that God had done in with God using it just in the Spirit. But in this year, as I was praying, I had this word in some of my prayer language, and it was literally the name of this village. And I didn't even know it until I saw it. The word is Yathe. And as I was praying that, I had been praying that through the beginning of this year and through the year, and when I looked at it, I said, I got to tell this brother, I've been praying for this village this year, and I didn't even know it. As you pray, come on, when you're praying in the Spirit, you don't know what words you're talking about. But you know those sounds. And when I saw the word there, I'm thinking, wow, it's a Navajo word. And when I shared that with them, and then we went, Peggy and I went, there was two pastors that were pastoring this church. It was kind of a different situation. It was two ladies pastoring it. They were children's evangelists for 20-something years. And this church, and yet they was without a pastor about 8 years ago. And as they were just traveling through doing children's ministry, they just caught the burn and said, hey, let's just stop here, fill in, until God raises somebody up. Well, they've been there 8 years. We shared the vision with them over lunch in July. We didn't think they would resign right away, but all of a sudden we come back to Massachusetts. We get a call from the presbyter and he says, hey, they just resigned about a month ago. Or they're resigning in October. They decided in August they were going to, in September they were going to resign. So just 2 months later they resigned. The place was open. We just went down there 2 weeks ago and spent 3 days of ministry at the church in Yathe. And we had a move of God, I'll tell you. It was awesome. The people were waiting. These ladies told them about us. And they said, we want you to come and pastor us. And we're like, we don't even know you, and you don't know us. They said, we don't care. We want you to come. We went and did ministry, but it's not up to them, unfortunately. And it's not up to us. It's up to the district. And they're going to make a decision whether we come or not. So keep it in prayer. They're going to make that decision today or tomorrow. So it's coming up quick. That means today or tomorrow. So we're going to have a word really soon whether we're going down. It could be as early as the first of this year. So that's real fast for us. Now, can we get ready in that time? If God gives us that speed, yes, we can do it. Everything can be taken care of. Do we have some people that we're still ministering to? Yeah, we got some Wampanoag folks that we're ministering to. And I'll share a little bit more about that in a few moments as I turn this back over to Pastor Randy. God's been doing some great stuff among the Wampanoag. God's doing some great stuff in Native ministry. I'm believing for a move of God this year. This coming year, I believe God's getting ready to do some great things. And oftentimes, great things don't always come the way we expect. Amen? Amen. But we'll share about that in a few more moments. Amen. Thanks, Pastor. Thank you. Hallelujah. There is power in that wonderful name. Amen? Amen. Jesus. Come on, that's a name above all names. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Whether they like it or not. Hallelujah. Come on. Mighty Jesus. Mighty Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning about victory. Praise God. I believe victory is first of all, I believe we already have it, number one. I believe it with all my heart. Whether we think we have it or whether it looks like we have it or not, we have it. Whether we feel like we're in defeat or failure, it doesn't matter. We still have victory. Amen. No matter what our circumstances or situations. And I want to take a look this morning at a portion of Scripture about a people who were living in failure and defeat, but they had the victory no matter what. Because we serve a God who's victorious. We serve a God who loves us and cares about us so much, despite our present situation, despite what's going on in our lives, despite what we're involved in, He says, I still want victory for my people. Turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 6. You say, wait a minute, we're going back into the Old Testament? I thought we're talking about Jesus. Yes, we are. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus is throughout the Scriptures, all over the place. Hallelujah. Come on, He always was, always is, and always will be. He's Jesus. He's the Word of God. nation of Israel. Interesting people. You know the story about them. You know their history as you've read the Old Testament. But here we are in the book of Judges, and they were a victorious people. They were people who were called out. They were people that God had anointed. A people despite their issues and their problems, God says, I've got victory and I've got promises for you. Despite. And here they found themselves in a place where victory did not seem like it was any place in sight, though it was there. They were a place of defeat and failure. And God, in chapter 6, sends a prophet of God, sends a man of God, and says to him, hey, I called you out of a life of bondage. And how many can testify here today, God has called you out of a life of bondage, amen? You were once bound by the sins of the world. You were once in a place of defeat and failure, but God says, you know what? I loved you when you were yet wicked and a sinner in my sight. I loved you and I've called you out of that. Hallelujah. How many can testify to that today? Woo! Hallelujah. I can too. And here's the nation of Israel. And a prophet comes and he says, look it. I've called you out of a life of bondage. A life of bondage. You were there for 430 years, for generation after generation. And I've called you out of that. He says, I don't want you to fear the gods of the nations around you. The gods of the nations of the Midianites or any of those people. And I want to tell you today, you do not need to fear the gods of the nations that are around you and all the false religions in our nation today and all the false worship and all the false things and all the lies of the enemy. You do not need to fear those today. Woo! Why? Because you've got Jesus. We sang about it, this power. In the name of Jesus, to break every chain. I don't care what false religion, I don't care what people are preaching, I don't care what people are saying is their God. It doesn't matter because we know the one and true and living God. And His name is Jesus today. But He says, hey, guess what? You all haven't obeyed my voice. He says, that's why there's a sense of failure and a sense of defeat around you. But I thank God today. That even though there's that going on, God does not leave us in that place. Come on, you could be here today, and I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but you can say, you know, I could use some victory in my life today. I would love to be able to go into the end zone and spike the football and say, yes, we won today. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, you can do that because we have the victory in Jesus Christ. But let's pick it up in Judges chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 12. In verse 11, God meets Gideon. He's in the wine press, and he's threshing wheat in a wine press. Not where they thresh wheat, but he's hiding. And all of a sudden, God sends an angel of the Lord. I love it when God sends His troops His way. He's determined. And He is going to bring victory despite what's going on among the people of the nation of Israel. And it says in verse 12, And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, it's talking about Gideon, and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now, I want to stop right here. I want you to catch the scene. Here's Gideon. He's hiding. He's in the wine press. He's hiding the wheat from the Midianites because if you read some of the prior verses, the Midianites would come in and steal their cattle, steal their wheat, and steal all kinds of things. And the people were impoverished because of it. And here's Gideon. He's afraid they're going to do it again. And he's hiding out. And he's threshing wheat. And all of a sudden the angel says, hey, you mighty man of valor. Now I want to tell you something. I believe Gideon pulled the Three Stooges right here. Now you're saying the Three Stooges, what are you talking about, brother? I don't see the Three Stooges in the Bible. I do. Right here I see a Three Stooges happening. Because all of a sudden Gideon is there and the angel appears to him. I don't know if you ever watched the Three Stooges, but when the Three Stooges would walk into a room, everyone would say, hello, gentlemen. And they would turn around and look behind them because they were not gentlemen. And I believe when Gideon walked into when the angel of the Lord was there and he was threshing that wheat and everything was going on, he said, you mighty man of valor. Gideon went, who are you talking to behind me? Because I'm not him. I'm afraid that the Midianites are going to take my wheat. Where's this mighty man of valor? And in verse 13, Gideon said to him, Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us. See, there's some doubt here. He's saying, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Have you ever been in a place of despair that you're just wondering, God, where are you? Where are the miracles, God? I've heard about them, Lord. I know you've done great things. Then the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with you. Man, I love when the Lord says that to you. I will be with you. Come on, when the Lord speaks that to your heart, if you haven't heard the Lord speak that to your heart, get in that prayer closet with God. God will speak that to you in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your situation. I am with you. I will be with you, and you shall defeat the enemy, the Midianites, as one man. Do you know, I've realized something through the years of serving the Lord. God sometimes allows us in places where we're hard-pressed, in places where we're cornered to the point where we can't turn to the right, to the left. We're trying to do something, and we're just there. We're trying to get something done, or whatever we want to do, and all of a sudden we're in this place where we're hard-pressed, and we say, God, I can't do a single thing right now. Lord, I don't feel like this mighty man or woman of valor. I don't feel like, Lord, you've called me out of darkness into your wonderful light. I know I'm a child of God. But Lord, why is all this happening to me? And I want to tell you something. In the midst of some of those places are the times when God wants to get into that place with you and whisper into your ear, I am with you. Don't give up. I'm with you despite your circumstance, despite your situation, despite all that you see going on around you. I've got victory for you. See, every time I see a native person putting a bottle to their mouth and to their lips, see, they think this, and I believe this with all my heart, they think, I've got victory for at least one more night. I don't have to worry. For at least one more night, as long as I have this bottle, as long as I can have one more drink, I've got victory. In their mind, they're thinking that. Every time they stick a needle in their arm or a crack pipe to their lips, they think, I have escaped all my fears and problems. Only to face them the next day to try to meet their next fix. And it's not just native people. We know that happens to many people around this nation, around the world. I believe every time they build a new casino, they gain victory over poverty. Because many of them think that. They've been exploited one more time. And they've been robbed of self-respect and every dollar they've ever earned to be enslaved to a root of all sorts of evil, the Bible says. But I believe God wants to bring victory to our native people and to others around us that you know that are in bondage, that are held in chains, that God wants to break them free in the midst of what's going on in their life. See, God is faithful. That he will bring his word. Remember what the word of God says? Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Come on, you're God's mouthpiece. Right here in Norwich, Connecticut. Right? Did I pronounce that right? You're right here in this area, you're God's mouthpiece. He says all those who call upon the name of the Lord. But how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear unless someone preaches to them, right? Because that's what the Scripture says. God's called you to bring the good news of the gospel, of glad tidings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's called each and every one of you, and me as well, to bring that message of hope to people who may not have heard yet. And we're to bring that message. God is calling each one of us. And there are many, many Native people around our nation today. You know, it's interesting. I started out ministry almost 14 years ago at Native Ministry. Next year it'll be 14 years. I started in 2000. At the time, there was a little over 4 million Native American people in our nation. Today, as you look at the board, I crossed it out and I put it in there. There's 5.2 million Native American people in our nation today. And still we're struggling to reach them with the gospel. I've heard many reports recently. I have put out there, it was a statistic that was less than 5%. That was from the Billy Graham Crusade back in 2000, I forget it was, 2010 or 2000 something. There are people, today I'm hearing there's less than 2 to 3% that are really true born-again Christians. 2 to 3% of 5 million people. Out of the native people that we've been preaching the gospel to for 390 years, folks. 390 years, there have been people coming to this nation to preach the gospel, to bring the word of God to the native people. And we've only scratched the surface. And it doesn't seem like there's victory there yet. But I want to tell you there is. Hallelujah, despite what we see. And God begins to bring the answer to Gideon why they're in a place that looks like defeat, that looks like failure, but really there's victory. And God speaks to Gideon in chapter 6, verse 25. He says, "Now it came to pass that same night that the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it.'" Do you hear what God's saying to Gideon? He's saying, look at Gideon. The reason why I haven't done anything is because of the idolatry that's in your nation. The reason why I haven't done anything is because I want your eyes to be open to what's going on around you. And I want to tell you today, God wants our eyes as the body of Christ to be open to what's going on around us. I want to tell you today that the nation, that the United States of America is more idolatrous today than ever since its foundation. We are more idolatrous than ever before. But I believe today that God says, I still want to bring victory in the nation of the United States of America. Because my Bible tells me where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, the Bible says. But we will go on and bring the Word of God and continue to believe God for victory, even in our nation where it's idolatry. And you might say, what kind of idolatry are you talking about, brother? I'm glad you asked. How about materialism? Come on. We are coming into one of the most materialistic holidays in our nation. It's called Christmas. Every commercial, everything, every store is telling you, you got to get this. Now, I love giving gifts. I love giving things. I love blessing people. And I know you do as well. But our nation has taken that giving attitude that we believe as Christians and has said, let's get rich and let's do this. And we become materialistic in the midst of it. Because what happens is our kids make lists this long and say, I want this, I want that, I want. And we allow that. We do, I'm just being honest, and that's that materialism of wanting. I want this. How about the love of money? Come on, it's there, folks. How about what we've done with musicians and actors and athletes? We say, oh, if I could be like them. And Jesus said, no, you were to be like my heaven, you were to be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. That's who we should be aspiring to be like. How about pride and fame? And how about self? We are in the me society today. It's all about me and how I feel good and what makes me happy. And if it feels good to you, then it's okay. We live in one of the most humanistic, secular societies of the day, where it's all about us and what makes us happy. The fact of the matter is, anything that we set up before God that's more important than Him is an idol in our lives. It can be people. It can be someone we love. It can be a child. It can be a spouse. It can be anything. We put everything in them. Because what did Jesus say? Unless you hate this one and that one and this one and even your own life more than you love me, you cannot be a part of my kingdom. Listen, that word hate is just simply meaning you've got to love me more. I've got to be number one. I've got to be in that place. Otherwise, there are idols in your life. Otherwise, they're more important. There's times in our lives when we've just got to lay certain things on the altar. We've got to lay our children on the altar. I can't tell you how many times I've had to do it. Situations in my life, I said, God, I just lay it on the altar. God, take control. See, despite all that I've just mentioned, despite what we see with all the false religions, and even the Christian churches that have gone so astray that we've heard about recently, and all the homosexuality allowed into the pulpit and in different denominations that once preached the gospel, breaks my heart. But can you imagine how it breaks God's heart? But yet God still loves people. Come on. He says, yes, but I still love you, and I'm going to call you out of it, and I'm going to bring victory. And God is determined to accomplish His goals through men and women of weakness. And Gideon and the Israelites were in a place like that. And here, we see that happen. But let's take a look. How about some people in the Bible who weren't the most perfect people, but God uses them mightily? How about Isaiah the prophet? Think of this guy. Come on, I love reading Isaiah. But did you know in the midst of, when I read this one verse I'm going to quote in a minute, he was already a prophet. He was already prophesying to the people. He was already declaring the word of God. He was calling the people in place of repentance. And he cries out to God and he says, woe is me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips because I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. I want to tell you today, we as the people of God dwell in this land, and I want to tell you, if you don't think it influences you and affects you, you better take a quick look again, because we are being bombarded daily, and it's the work of the enemy. And when the prophet Isaiah has to cry that out, I want to tell you something. If we will cry that out, God will come and touch us, and He will set us free from those things that are pulling us away from God. How about the man Peter? Peter the apostle. Think of this, folks. He walked with Jesus intimately for over 3 years. He wasn't just a part of the circle. He was a part of the inner circle. I mean, he was a part of the most intimate place that you could be with Jesus. We have that access as well. Amen? He was one of the three. Peter, James, and John went to places that other apostles did not get to go to. They heard the heart of Jesus. They knew the secrets in His heart. They heard Him crying out, if it's Your will, God, if it's possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, Your will be done. They were there. And yet on that day, Jesus was taken into captivity. Peter denies the Lord 3 times. He was one of the three, folks. But yet, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit hit him, man, he was filled with power and with an anointing, and he went and preached the gospel, and 3,000 got saved. He didn't care. He said, whether my life is taken or not, I will not deny the Lord again. He was empowered by the Spirit. And we can go on. How about this guy, Abraham? Great man, huh? He was the guy that God called out, and he listened and he obeyed. But did you know Abraham told his wife, hey, look, when we go into this nation and the city, just tell him you're my sister. He was thinking of, who was he thinking about? Was he thinking of Sarah? He was thinking of himself. I was trying to save his own skin. They're going to kill me if they find out you're my wife, because they're going to take it because you're so beautiful. All right? So, I mean, come on. If that would happen today, you wives would be telling, husband, you and I are going to marriage counseling today. Let's go. I am not your sister. Come on. But yet God calls him my friend. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, that God would call us. He wants to call my friend. A friend of God. And we could go on and on. We could talk about David and all that he did. You know the story. Jacob the conniver. Adam and Eve. Hey, folks. You think we have problems? They lived in paradise. It was perfect. And they blew it. Come on. And they blew it. And we could go on and on, but look at this is what this God wants to do, what His purpose. He says, and we know that God uses all things to work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. God wants to use the imperfect to bring His perfect message. Amen. And He uses people like you and me. Hallelujah. So watch what God does to position His people for victory. I believe God is positioning us. When you are hard-pressed, when the trials are coming in, oftentimes when the trials and things don't look the best, if you're anything like I used to be like this, I used to be like, God, get me out of this. Get me out of this situation, God. Gideon wanted that. Israel wanted that. But do you know, in the midst of those trials, that's when God is perfecting us? He's like, if I take you out of this, you will not grow in me. You will be stagnant. And you know what happens when you're stagnant? You're stinky. Right? If you ever walked by a stagnant pond or a stagnant puddle or something like that, it gets stinky. And God says, I don't want you being like that. I allow these things so that I can perfect you. And my will be done in you. So watch what God does with Gideon. Here's Gideon. God tells him to call the people together. He calls the people together. 32,000 people come out for a church service. Hallelujah. They go into battle. But God tells him, I want you to tell everyone that's afraid to go home. And 2/3 of the people leave. 22,000 go home. And 10,000 are left. See, the Bible says in Proverbs that the fearful will flee in the midst of adversity. That's in Proverbs 24. I like the way that it says it in the Message Bible. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Yeah, that's Proverbs 24:10. Peggy and I, we've been working with the Wampanoag here and just ministering. And just a couple of years back, 2012 was a year of tremendous trials for us among the Wampanoag people. A lot of shaking going on in the ministry there. And we've been training people for ministry because that's a part of what we do. And that, I believe that with all my heart. I'm not waiting to go to some other place. Do I do it right? Well, Peggy and I minister, we do that. And we were training a guy for ministry to take over the youth ministry we had started. It was growing. It was flourishing. Kids were getting saved in the tribe. And we began to be attacked. We were preaching the truth of the gospel because what was going on, we had connected with some people from the tribe that had gotten saved prior, but they were mixing traditional spiritual practices with Christianity. Well, there's a lot of religions that do that kind of stuff, right? But we stand on the truth. When you get saved, you get saved. You get called out of. You pick up your cross and you follow Jesus, amen? God doesn't say, hey, take all that idolatrous stuff with you and go ahead and continue to do the idolatry and worship me too. No. We preach the truth and we live the truth. So we do that, and as we were doing that and bringing the truth of God's word, well, some people got upset, as you can imagine. It's the people that, not the non-Christians, it's the ones who had a little bit of the gospel and some of the lie, and they said, and they came against. And some that were allowing and permitting all this kind of stuff, and they began to attack us and our ministry. And what happened was some of the ones that we were training for ministry, they said, we can't take this. We don't want to be a part of this. I said, what did you think when you entered into the kingdom of God, into the being a leader? You're entering into a battle. Come on, Gideon knew he was getting ready to go into battle. We're in a battle whether we like it or not, folks. The enemy of your soul does not want you or your family serving Jesus. But I want to tell you something. We stand firm upon God's word. The Bible says, after standing, continue to stand. Hallelujah. The ground has already been won. All we have to do is stand and fight in the name of Jesus and defend that ground. And that's what we do. But what happens is, just like the scripture says, the weak will flee in the midst of adversity. We saw people begin to flee. We don't want to be associated. We're afraid what people are going to say about us. We don't, and then they disconnect, and then they basically what happens is they've chose their side at that point. They chose a side of weakness, and they weren't willing to stand with the Lord or for the Lord. But I like what Isaiah the prophet says. He says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them. Not us, but the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, He wants to fight our battles, folks. We don't have to flee in the midst of adversity. We can stand our ground and we have the victory through Jesus Christ. But now watch what God does. Watch what God does. in the midst of what's going on. God says, hey, look at Gideon. 10,000 people is still too many. Now, if you're anything like me, I would look at 10,000 people and say, man, I can do a lot with that. You know what? You know what I'm talking about? I would look at that too and I'd say, you know what? Maybe I can do a lot. Maybe I can go and defeat that enemy with the 10,000. And God's saying, uh-oh. Uh-oh, they're going to do this and they're going to do it in their strength. They're going to think, let's put on our sword, grab a shield, and let's go into battle. And God speaks to Gideon and he tells him, hey, look, the people are still too many. In chapter 7, verse 4, he says, bring them down to the water and I will test them there. Come on, God will test us and he'll refine us. Don't be afraid of the testing and the refining of God because his purposes will be accomplished in it. He says, everyone who gets down like this and scoops up water and laps, put off to a side. Everyone who gets on all fours and laps like a dog, send them home. Oh. 300 are left. Woo! Now. how can we raise it? It's now humanly impossible for 300 men to defeat hundreds of thousands of men down in the valley. It's humanly impossible. If we were 300 right here, we would say, let's get out of here. Let somebody else fight this battle. But God is raising up 300 men of faith. And I believe God's raising up men and women of faith today that are saying, we'll fight in this battle. We don't care if there's one or two standing, we'll do whatever we got to do, God. I love when God does things and what he wants to do. We've been seeing some victory in our ministry. We've seen some defeat, but we've seen some victory. We've got a lady who just came to a women's retreat, Lorraine. And she got saved back when I first started with the tribe just doing a Bible study in a home. She got saved, her and her son, Scotty. Scotty was 11 at the time, and Lorraine got saved. She was a widow. I didn't know that at the time when she came, but her and her son received Christ. And they committed their lives to the Lord, and in 2008, baptized them in water. And boy, she came out, one of the first things that was able to drop off was the spiritual practices from her people. And come on, it tends to that culture. People tend to think that the spiritual stuff is a part of their culture. The spiritual stuff has to be divided. That's what I was talking about a little earlier. There's nothing wrong with language and culture and dress and culture. Certain things of culture are okay. But when the spiritual practices, when you begin to call out to spirits and call out to this and that, we have to take a thing and divide and say, and she did that. And then God began to deal with her the next thing. She had all these books on witchcraft. And she came to me one day, she said, I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of books and witchcraft. She said, I feel like God's dealing with me. I don't want to get rid of them. I said, Lorraine, God is dealing with you. You need to be obedient to the Lord. And I showed her the scripture. Remember the scripture in Acts where they threw away, I forget, it was like 50,000 something worth of books of witchcraft. And eventually she did it. Amen. One thing after another. Then all of a sudden the next issue came up. She got rid of her drinking. And she stopped doing that. She stopped going out to the bars and partying. And then all of a sudden, it was about a year and a half or so ago, to the tobacco. She stopped smoking. About a year and a half ago, finally got victory through the smoke. It was like year after year there was a victory in eating one thing at a time. Praise God. At least it was victory. It was happening. We need to be patient with one another, folks. Sometimes we get a little impatient and go, how come this person isn't getting with it yet? You know, it took God I had a lot of baggage that I brought into Christianity. I don't know about you, but I had a lot of things. And here Lorraine did too. And then all of a sudden, just all these things were just dropping off. And then this year here, she finally, one of the biggest strongholds in her life was with men. And finally she was dating unsaved guys. And finally we're preaching the truth. We just told her, you need to get rid of these guys. That's it. God will give you a godly man. Just get rid of it. And she finally did it. We need to tell one another these things. Just tell each other the truth, folks. And that's love. Telling truth is love. And she did it. And do you know what happened after she did that? Within months, she was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Filled with power. She's now our youth leader. Hallelujah. She's leading the youth. She brought youth teen girls down to the youth women's ministry thing here this week. Come on, God's doing some great things. There's victory there. Isn't that awesome stuff? But I'll tell you something. going through the years, didn't look like there was victory in sight. I'm just being honest with you. As a man of God, I looked and I said, I don't see victory in sight. I couldn't see it. But I said, but you know what? I'm going to still believe because I see there's a victory here this year. I'm believing that maybe she'll get another one another year. Who knows? God, I'm going to try. And God just continues to do it. And I believe God's got more great things for her and her family. Amen. Now I'm believing God for her son, Scotty. He's a junior, getting ready to be a senior in high school. God's got a call on his life. And he's getting kind of, well, pray for him. His name is Scotty anyways. Teenage boy. Hallelujah. Listen, God is awesome. My Bible tells me that with God, all things are possible. That one can chase 1,000 and 2 10,000 to flight. Come on, we're more than two here today. Bible also says in Psalm 91:7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Hallelujah. You stand on those verses. And I love what Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our victory is today, folks. And what does 1 John say, chapter 5, verse 4? And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Come on, we are in faith here today. This is a faith walk. And we have the victory today by faith. Even if you don't sense the victory, even if you're saying, God, I'm waiting for the victory, you've got the victory by faith today. Stand on it. Believe God for it. I like what the apostle says. I'm going to close with this. In 2 Corinthians 4:7-9, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, don't we? That the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Thank God it's of Him and not us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Many, many years ago, there were 300 men who had an earthen vessel in their hands. And they were waiting for Gideon to say, to hear the sound of the trumpet, to break that earthen vessel and to let their light shine. As Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I believe this with all my heart. If we, who are earthen vessels, would be broken for the Lord, broken over the sin, broken over the idolatry that's in our schools, that's in our government, that's in our homes, that's infected our churches, that may have even crept into our lives. If we would be broken vessels, I will tell you that when those vessels broke and the light shine that day with the 300 of Gideon's men and they shouted a sword for the Lord, the light of Jesus will shine through us like never before. If we'll be broken for the Lord. Folks, I'm telling you today, God is calling an army. And it may not be 32,000. But if He'll get 300 men and women of faith who will break their vessels and say, God, I'm broken for You. With a broken and a contrite spirit, You will not despise. And God, we will have the victory in our house. We'll have victory in our home. We'll have victory in our schools. We'll have victory in our church. We'll have victory in our towns. We will have victory in our families. Because the Lord is with us. Hallelujah. Would you bow your head with me this morning? Bow your hearts. I want victory for Native people. With all my heart, I see so many. When we were down in New Mexico and just being in the town, seeing the alcoholics, seeing the people who were living daily, just on the sides of the highways, thumbing, drunk, staggering. Going back to the reservation after going into town and getting alcohol, just wasting their lives away. But I believe God wants victory for them. And I believe God wants victory for you. Whatever God's doing in your life and in your family, what you're believing God for, do not give up. There's victory today for you. I want to do this. The Spirit. Spirit of God is tugging at your heart today. And He's saying, if you will be broken for me, I will do great and mighty things through you. And my light will shine like never before through you. Maybe there's something in your life that you need to lay at the altar. I don't know. Maybe there's something in your home. Maybe there's something else, that, or someone you love and you're believing God for them. Whatever the scenario might be. I believe if you will take a step of faith, like the 300. If you'll take a step of faith out of your pew tonight, today, and you'll say, God, I'm ready to go to battle. I'm ready to fight for you, God. I know it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit, God. I'm going to look to you. I'm going to trust you. If that's you today and you're ready and you want victory, come forward today. Come and let the Holy Spirit use you. Remember, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Won't you come? I would love to pray for you and Pastor, whoever your prayer team is, and I'm just going to turn it back to Pastor Randy as you're coming.
Sure. Let's just stand together.
Thank you, Lord.
And praise God for a good word spoken in due time. Amen.